Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It's a popular scripture, but let's meditate on that scripture. Let's meditate on that scripture. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The emphasis here, verse 21, it says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who is he that will enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of my Father which is in heaven. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus Christ said, he did not come to do his will, but the will of him that has sent him. He said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Praise the Lord. The will of God. Every one of us, Romans 8:38 says, we are called according to his purpose. Listen, this is very important, church. We are called according to God's purpose. There is a purpose why God calls you. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let that sink into your mind, Christians, believers, Pride Assembly members, brothers and sisters. You are not here in Christ today. We are not in Christ to do our own will. We are in Christ to do his own will, to fulfill his own sovereign purpose. Amen. It is important that we note it. For those who may be hearing this message for the first time, when we talk about the will of God, an interesting aspect of the will of God is that God has his perfect will and his permissive will. Amen. And we're looking again the topic that we titled Walking in the Will of God. Walking in the will of God. There is God's perfect will, and there is God's permissive will. And we are called to walk in his perfect will. Perfect will. Why is it necessary? Where we read in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, it said, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. Not everyone. The only ones that will enter into the kingdom, he said, but he that will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And it's important to catch that, the revelation of that statement, because he said, at that day, which day? Because there is a reckoning day. There is a reckoning day. Church, there is a reckoning day, otherwise known as the day of judgment, the day where every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says so. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The whole world also. Every human being. We came to this earth for a purpose. You were not born into this world to fulfill your own agenda, your own purpose. But he that created you for a purpose. Believers or unbelievers, every human being, that is why he said, for all, every one of us shall give account of himself. You are going to give account of himself, of yourself. I will give account of myself. You will give account of yourself. Every human being, you will stand one day before your maker to give account. And before anybody will say, come and answer me, it means he has revealed the answer to you. He now wants to confirm whether you kept the answer or not. He will not ask you for what you don't know. He will ask you for what you know. You know what was bad. You know what was good. You know what God expected you to do. You know it. But somehow, for reasons best known to you, you decided to choose to go your own way. He said you will stand at account. And when you stand before him, he is telling you, many will come at that day and say, was it not in your name I cast out devils? Now catch it. Why I want you to catch it is very important, because Christ did not deny that fact. They were actually casting out devils in his name, and demons were running away. They were doing deliverance. People were testifying in his name. He does not deny that. But though you were casting out devils, you were going about evangelizing in the whole world, you had a mighty ministry everywhere. They knew about you. Sick people were receiving healing and deliverance, all in your ministry, and you were always doing it in the name of Jesus, not in the name of any other name, any other power, any other deity, but the name of Jesus. And there was a result. And yet, he stands at that day and says, I never knew you. You see? Why? He said, because certainly you were not doing it according to the will of God. It's important, therefore, for every one of us to know what the will of God is, so that we can walk in that will confidently and speak like Apostle Paul would speak. Say, I have fought the good fight. And he was sure that there was a crown. That is, he will pass the examination. When he will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Christ will say, well done, thou faithful servant. And he will receive his own crown. Why? It's because he was sure, blessed be the name of the Lord, that in his ministry, in his daily life, he walked with God according to God's perfect will. Perfect will. And I say, hallelujah, that it is dicey, because there is God's perfect will and there is God's permissive will. Permissive will. For instance, concerning divorce, Matthew 19. Concerning divorce. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Matthew 19. Let's pick the reading from verse 3. It says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? That is important. That is important. Have you not read? This Bible is God's perfect will. The only way to stay in God's perfect will is stay according to the word of God. Stay on the word of God. Stay on the word of God. Be guided by the word of God. I am sure, church, listen. It is not an empty boast. Certainly, it is not. Church, listen. This is the reason why I believe that I, Pastor Moses Alu, I will have a successful ministry. Now let me tell you why. When I say successful ministry, I am not saying I will gather plenty of people. Because plenty of people, the size of your church, is not a determinant of your success. Because there are other religions and religious leaders that gather many more number than any other Christian leader. When I say success, I mean at the end, when I meet the Lord, He will shake hands with me. That's what I mean by success. Why? So, church, listen. People come to Pastor Moses and ask me. They come to me. Pastor, I have people who came. Pastors of, denominational churches that come to me. Pastor Moses, I have been coming to prayer. I've been studying your ministry. And of all the men of God, I want you to be my mentor. And I don't understand what they mean by that, because what is the meaning of mentor? What do you mean by mentor? And that I want to be paying my tithe from now on into your ministry. And I say, why do you want to pay your tithe into my ministry? Because me, I don't have mentor. And I don't pay my tithe to another ministry. And somebody is coming to me to say he will pay his tithe to my ministry. And he wants me to be his mentor. And I say, please teach me what's the meaning of mentor. Why are they saying that? There is some man somewhere that they want to pattern after. He is the one that package and produce them, or it is that is the image, that patterning of his ministry they want to follow. So they want him to be their mentor. And church, I have watched men of God teaching in ministerial seminars and gathering and conferences, that there must be a mentoring. What they are trying to do is, you that are just coming up, you look up to us that have been there before you. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is the problem so many enter message pastors have with Pastor Moses. And I say something, it is important, please, you understand what this ministry is all about. It's important. God gave me revelation of what salvation is all about. It was not in a church setting. It was inside prison yard. From reading books, 20 different messages were sent to us. As we are arranging them to distribute them this morning to the members from the Voice of God recording, William Branham messages. And we arranged them. And I was looking at all the titles and the people standing there, the coordinators and the ministers. And I said, all these 20 messages, I have read all of them. And they said, eh? And I said, look at you. I have read more than this. And it gave me a picture of what God was doing in this end time. I came out of the prison and I was looking forward to meeting a group of people that when I enter their midst, I will see angels on earth. I will see that glorious church. I went from one enter message to the other. The picture I caught in the prison when God visited me, I couldn't see it. I didn't see the liberty of the Spirit. I didn't see the gifts that William Branham manifested. begins that the Lord Jesus Christ manifested that he said, the works that I do, you shall do also. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. I didn't see the signs in this message book, churches. And I was wondering, is this the picture? And they tried to change that picture to make me follow the nonsense that they had established. And I refused. And it will surprise you that I was never a preacher in any inter-message church until this church started. But Brother Moses, you are a minister, come and preach. I said, no, I thought I'm a minister. But when I see the people, you people say I'm ministers, then I now say, if I'm the minister with this, then I'm not a minister. Because I knew who a minister should look like. I know what it means to be a minister. And when I looked at those who said they were ministers, I said, if you are a minister, then it means I don't know the meaning of ministry. I am not a minister. Church, listen. Why? What was it that got me established to that level? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When this ministry therefore started, and I had the opportunity to pastor this church, I said, now I have opportunity to put a picture of what I know God gave me concerning what a true church should look like. How will I achieve it? It's not by making any inter-message old minister as my mentor. You make that same mistake when your gift starts. You are looking for an older minister in Bride Assembly that has been operating that gift before you, and you begin to follow him. Before you know what, the way that one decides to go, you too, you will follow him. He said, woe to anyone that will put his confidence on a man. I have no mentor, loud and clear. All the four churches that I left, I did not fight with them. I did not quarrel with them. Other than the fact that you are living the Bible. Oh, when they refuse, I move ahead. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is obligated to back you up when you stay with his word. This church did not start with one single gift. No gift started this church. This church was not founded on gifts. That is why I believe gift will never pull down this church. Because the foundation of this church is not gift. It's not gift. It's not gift. It's not gift. The foundation of this church is so clear that if you don't come and line up, very easily you are exposed. What was my guide? I made the Bible my guide, and the sermon books of William Branham. And when I say the sermon books of William Branham, hallelujah, hallelujah, there is the spirit of this message. There is the letter of this message. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. Hallelujah. When you are reading this message, you must get in the spirit to understand what that man means. William Branham did not come to establish another religion. No! He did not bring anything new into Christianity. No! He came to bring us back to the old time Christianity. And the only way you can trace the old time Christianity is come back to the Bible. That is where you will locate the old time Christianity.